So, true story, a person online this morning said, why do they call it a variable if you can't change the value in there? And I responded, I don't know. Why did they call it code if you can read what's in the code? Hey, hello, guys. Daniel Markham here with Nerd Roundup. Never been to a Nerd Roundup before? Well, you're lucky. This is your lucky day today because today we're going to talk about news and events of the week from a programming technical standpoint. I leave the sort of room open to have some friends come by when they can. And we just goof off for about an hour and talk about what's going on with an emphasis on technology and having fun. I believe that a team that can goof off and have fun together can do about damn near anything. And this week I have James Greening and Greg Young. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey, hello there, Dan. Hi, Greg.
Que pasa?
Not a day particular.
So every week I ask Greg what's he been doing first. So this week, we're going crazy this week. So, James, what have you been doing this week?
Well, this week, my wife, Mary Lee, went in for surgery yesterday, and so I am the head nurse right now at this Greening household. She had her shoulder fixed, and so I've got I might get called away at any time when the nurse call button happens, but that's what I've been doing, taking care of my dear wife.
As one should. How about you, Greg? Yep.
I've been playing with my B-Tree implementation and waiting still on FedEx.
What you're waiting for. Everybody in the world knows it's what could it be? Passport.
Yes!
Oh, wow. That was a... What a
the only people that don't know are FedEx.
I think we're now at something like 47 days of their three-day service.
When it absolutely has to be there overnight. Or over a year, or at some point in the future.
Well, was it the government's fault, or was it FedEx's fault?
No. They took more than 30 days before they even presented it to the government.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
So you're able to track it on the government site now?
No. But I can see on their site that they have actually submitted it to the government at this point.
And they would never lie to you about something like that. I'm telling you, Greg.
Of course not. I mean, they're FedEx. They're reliable, right? I mean, look how reliable they've been with everything else.
Yeah. Wow.
Well.
So.
Let's see. When you miss... I wonder if there's a saying like this. There's another saying I really like a lot. When you mix politics with anything, what do you get? You get politics. So if you mix government with FedEx, what happens?
Not cookies. I think the answer is probably not cookies. Cookies is really the answer to any question involving anything, pretty much.
Well, it depends on, would you like something to eat? Yes. What?
Cookies. Okay, I'll give you that one, sure. But, hey, I think there's a monster outside, and the guy goes to the door, never somebody giving him cookies. It's always a monster or nothing there.
Well, it depends on what kind of monster.
Well, but then you could also just go with that there's a blue monster outside, and what is he probably looking for?
Good point. And I want to point out that Cookie Monster has been really, really unrepresented in the monster community. He's, I would even say, a token monster. He's the only cookie guy I know in the whole bunch of them, okay? So what have I been doing this week? I have wrote an essay yesterday morning on, what the hell was it on? Redoing the education system, and it, of course, wasn't that broad. It was just, how would you categorize, teachers' jobs if you had to start over, right? So if you just, what's the minimum category system you could use for, grouping teachers together in a university or something? Old people and young people would be the... it turned out, and I didn't know what was going there, I ended up with a 7x6 grid, and you just find a spot in the middle, and that's pretty much a minimum amount of tagging information to get started. And it also turns out that 7 times 6 is 42, which, if you've read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy,
you found the answer to everything.
I know, I got the right answer. I didn't know I was going there, and then I did the math. I'm like, holy shit, I've actually figured out the whole thing now. So I wrote that. I didn't do a damn bit of work on my book. Melissa took 2 or 3 days off, and we had kids over for a big barbecue and had lots of fun doing that. And I installed Age of Empires 4 yesterday. And I'm not a game player, but...
How do you have time for all that, Dan?
It must be nice, huh? I didn't, haven't played it yet. See, okay, you really want to have this happen. I'm sitting there in the dining room, right? and I'm talking to my daughter, my wonderful daughter, Katrina, and I look over to my organization thing that I never keep organized, and I said, hey, I wonder what this is. And I pull off a gift card to Steam for $50 that I was given 4 years ago. I'm like, oh, that's that present my son bought me 4 years ago. I guess I better use that, huh? So I had to find something to spend $50 on. You can't get the money back. And you...
What a tragedy.
I found a game that I could download instead of doing a subscription. It was $80. $80 freaking for a game. So, like, now I'm paying extra money to download the game. I don't start complaining, but I appreciate the gift card. I used it, and it's a fun game. I played it 20 years ago, version 1. I'm sure it's going to be rocking this time.
Sounds good. Is that a multiplayer game?
Yes.
Or did you just play the computer?
No, the version I played back in 20 years ago was, like, barely multiplayer. The new version is a 40-gig download, and I guess it contains, like, movies from the ancient Roman. I don't know. It's just a freaking ton of downloads. And then once you install it, it's multiplayer online. You have to have a subscription. They sell, like, updated episodes to a game. So you buy the game, and then, like, if you subscribe to the game, every couple months you get a new episode for your game. Yeah, who's not telling me that's a good idea? Huh? That's a wonderful idea. And then you can pay extra for, like, little doodads and such. It's almost like they really
want to... Be fair, Doom kind of did that. Because you had all the Doom mods.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I ever paid anything at all for Doom. I bought Doom 3 or 4, the last one. I think I got the free version. You know, they gave it away, right? Remember that? But yeah, it's real cool. If you've ever played a real-time strategy game, you have little people, and you tell them to go get resources, and then you build up a civilization from there, and then you fight other people. Many games are like
this. I played SimCity a long time ago, but...
I like SimCity. Yeah, this is a very SimCity-ish. It was actually much more playable back in the day because it was not turn-based. It was just everything happened continuously, which made it more challenging. So, first article is Amazon has a Proteus robot. It picks up and moves stuff around the warehouse. And the reason I included this... I didn't actually go see a picture of Proteus, but they're really getting really close to, like, robots that can store and retrieve things in random shelving configurations. And I think we're going to be pretty, maybe 5-10 years away from having a kitchen robot. I don't think it's that far off, for rich people at least.
So I think I mentioned in the past that an ex-girlfriend had actually gone and worked for Amazon for a bit.
Ooh.
Just in between things that she was doing. And they already treat their workers like robots, so it's not surprising that they are going to be just replacing them with robots.
And that is fairly common in the warehousing and distribution center area. They do what they call time and motion studies. They try to figure out each movement a person would require to get a thing from a spot on the shelf to take it somewhere, and then they adapt. They do a game theory Monte Carlo stuff to optimize shelving. It's called a sliding exercise. So it's an AI type thing, but they're like checking out each little movement that people do real time. They treat you like a little robot. That was 30 years ago. It's gotten worse.
Well, if you want to make your menial job a little bit more interesting, you actually will try to turn it into robotics anyway. Because I remember as a teenager, my dad gave me one of the worst jobs ever at his company. I was making fire sprinkler heads. And it involved this carousel with these little parts going around it. You have to put a part on, and then it would stamp something. You put another part on. You had to get your hands out of the way, otherwise something bad could happen. And considering it's so boring, you had to find out what's the minimum move so I can get a sip of coffee in between, or maybe I could start running two of these machines. And so you start to, like, challenge you. At least that's what I did. Started challenging myself. And then, so I could run two of them at a time, and nothing bad happened. Still have all the pieces.
Yeah, you need... I mean, the thing is that most jobs will become standardized, rules-based, then they'll become optimized, rules-based, and then eventually they become, you know, optimized, period, with no people involved. And that's kind of what you want. The more rote it is, the more you don't want to be doing it.
Part of my dad's motivation for giving me that job is to make me want to go back to school.
I guess we're dead.
Yeah, it was a pretty good move.
But can you imagine if your job was literally to walk up to the front, grab 5 tickets, and now you have to walk around the warehouse to grab those items and bring them back up to the front? And this is what you do all day.
All day. Yeah, it's brutally, yeah, that's got a tax on your mind.
It's like, why do we have a human doing this? Like,
yeah, get a computer to do it.
I still think that distribution centers where you have a whole bunch of different kinds of things that are slotted that come together to make little products like Amazon. These are probably the pyramids of our age. These are the most complex, amazing technical things that we've created. It's pretty cool if you dig down in it.
They all look like little Roombas in that video.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, that
well, saying, to be fair, they look like rather large Roombas.
Oh yeah, large Roombas.
I think the weird thing is, I think robots are going to take over. I mean, not take over, but take over a bunch of work, and they're going to do it while we're not looking. It's like it's a little bit, little bit, little bit, and suddenly you're going to wake up one day and go, "What the hell happened in the last 20 years?" It's just little piece by little piece.
Well, you noticed McDonald's, right, with the kiosks. The first time I saw one of those was in France, and this was like 10 years ago. It's like, okay, they're tired of paying people that don't know anything too much money.
Yep.
And so they put in these kiosks that no one could work, and so now they hire the young kids to tell you how to work the kiosk. Did they save something? I don't know.
Yeah, one person could probably help like do 8 kiosks, so I don't know. Yeah, and a lot of people don't want to talk to people. I mean, once you put the kiosk in and they're able to do it, they're like, well, I don't want to talk to you. Just let me push the little button. Bring me my food.
Yeah, I'm old
that
school.
Is precisely what I do at McDonald's. I walk right in. I walk for the kiosk. I do not want to walk to the front desk. I do not want to sit in line. I do not want to deal with any of this. Put in my order and then put the little thing up.
Yeah.
Too antisocial, Greg. Just saying.
Well, you know,
I just don't want to deal with those people.
Yeah, okay. I know I don't want large fries.
I was just kidding. I don't know whether you're antisocial or not. You don't seem like you are.
Oh, come on. I'm normally there to play chess.
Ooh.
With other people.
You know, McDonald's was rated like one of the top 10 coffee places nationwide a few years back. That was kind of weird. Didn't expect that.
Their coffee's not completely terrible.
No. They say the donut places are like, if you have to pick a mass chain, donut places are good. The McDonald's is good. And of course, the coffee places as well. But if you want consistent, just sort of give me a cup of coffee, McDonald's is kind of hard to beat.
Yeah. And then when you reach a certain age, you can get the senior version of the coffee.
Yeah, Melissa's all over that. Actually, oh, we can get an extra 2%. I'm like, no, I don't want any extra money. No, we can get, no, that's I'm fine, okay?
There's no extra money. You just don't pay as much for it.
Yeah. I would give them an extra, like, 10, 20 cents if they just don't ask me about the discount. I don't want to hear about the whole discount thing. I'm not going there.
No, we just say,
what I really, what I
look
really
at us, it's like, no, you couldn't possibly be old enough. Well, no, they don't say that.
Oh, yeah, now that's a good, that's what I'm talking about right there.
I really need to get back to where I have a McDonald's nearby, because what I mostly miss is their breakfast.
Oh, wow. They have a good breakfast. I used to get the McGriddles. Freaking, like crack cocaine in a little styrofoam thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but that, like, you can't have those.
I will literally almost never order. Keto.
Yeah, James is right. Yeah, I cannot. McGriddles have long went past my rearview mirror. No more for McGriddles. That's why I miss them so damn much.
Now, supposedly,
but I'll
you
almost
know,
never order something like a hamburger or anything like that. But breakfast, it's actually pretty good.
The thing, mass food makes sense because you can go anywhere in the world and get like a cheeseburger. And it's the same dang cheeseburger. It may not be the greatest cheeseburger in the world, but you know what you're going to get, and that's kind of a new thing.
Yeah, so that's true for the cheeseburger, but then there'll be other stuff on the McDonald's menu as you go around the world that is kind of weird.
Definitely.
Okay, what have you guys had that's odd at McDonald's? Remember?
I don't know. I try to forget about that.
I was in the Southwest of U.S. and got the McDonald's, and you could get like French fries or like a thing of chili peppers. Eat the peppers with your burgers. Yeah.
Wow.
So this is a weird one that I've had, but it's not that weird. How about a, like, Big Mac with egg on it?
France?
I'm trying to think. That might have been in the UK.
Okay. It is a French or sort of high culinary thing that we were offered. That we were in Paris, and they were like, "Hey, you want an egg on that?" I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, you put." I'm like, "Okay." It wasn't bad. It's just I never would have thought that. It's weird. And the French actually, you can get red wine with your burger at McDonald's too.
Well, now you're talking.
Oh, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this one, but there's another really fun one, which is the McFloat.
Root beer float or no? I haven't seen it.
Is it like
so? It's basically Coca-Cola, and then they take the ice cream machine and put the ice cream machine on top of it.
Oh well, that's
yeah.
We used to make those all the time.
Those are floats. I like a root beer float. We used to make those at home. Good stuff.
Yeah,
vanilla ice cream.
But they actually serve them. They actually serve these at McDonald's.
Yeah, I've never seen it at McDonald's.
I believe it was in Hong Kong. It was either Hong Kong or China that had that one.
I do like McDonald's more than of course, I haven't been. James is right. I haven't been in years, but it seemed like a pretty standard place to go. Okay, so next article is about this guy who wrote this thing called what the hell is it called? It's a multiplayer OS desktop simulator. Oh, the Y-Board. And this is just really cool. So for 2 or 3 months, we've been talking about conflict-free replicated data types from time to time. We've been talking about scaling and events and multi-events. And there's a library that I haven't looked at called, I think, YJS. What is it? YJS. And it is supposed to implement conflict-free replicated data types. And the reason you use the CRDTs is because you can have multiple editors of the same thing at the same time and not have conflicts. Think about like multiple people editing a Google Word doc online. Everybody can be online editing the doc at the same time. Well, this guy made a little desktop system. It's got like draw and a couple little things. And whoever wants to come by can come by and use it. And it has instructions to install on your own machine. And it scales up. It only uses one WebSocket. It looks really, really cool.
Well, the main difference here is dealing with people who might be lagging, as an example. So we could actually just push a stream of events and basically replicate that stream of events to all the users that are currently using it.
Yes, and that's the beauty, because doesn't matter your speed. Everybody doesn't have to be high speed. And some great comments on Hacker News about this as well.
I like his cartoon.
No cartoon. Oh, the one the guy's drawing?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, way cool. The comments on Hacker News were just as good, and the first, almost the top one, was why is the talk all around CRDTs, all about editing, and less about the more mundane but much more common scenario of multi-master CRUD apps? And I'm like, yes, exactly. Multi-master CRUD apps, that is where we're headed. I think it's where we're all headed, especially at the cloud. This is where you want to be on board with the CRDTs.
So this is all JavaScript, huh?
Yeah. He's got to-do, notes, Kanban, links.
Have you not realized yet that at some point everything will be JavaScript?
I've heard that.
Yeah, I'm actually JavaScript myself. The doc said you can't go back. Once you become JavaScript, you're just stuck. Yeah, so we should do something on CRDTs, because I really think that they're going to be big, big-time cool stuff. Oh, hey, by the way, did you guys see that the Bobsters started a new book? I think you said on Twitter. Yeah, I think you said...
What's the topic?
I believe he's doing a book on functional programming, which is kind of a bummer, because I know another guy who wears a cowboy hat from time to time who is also doing a book on functional programming. And now the Bob's going to horn in on all my good functional programming action. I have no idea what the topic besides functional programming is. I imagine it's going to be, if I know Bob, how to conquer the known universe using functional programming, and that's fine.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's just doing it to rebound from his recent book on ethics.
Yeah. Well, did he do a book on ethics?
Yes.
Oh my God, I thought the last one was clean architecture. I didn't realize there was an ethics one.
What's it called?
1 second. I'll get you the title. It was Clean Craftsmanship, Discipline, Standards, and Ethics.
Dang. That's a, wow. That's
is it different than the clean coder?
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm going to, I should write like dirty, filthy code. And now in your area.
I got some. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah,
how about this reactor? When do I get one?
You have to really wonder what the advertisement photo for that would be.
I don't know.
For which?
The dirty code, I believe.
Meet dirty code in your area.
Dangling pointers, unsafe thrones, exceptions nobody cares about.
I'm thinking there's like some kind of character in a long trench coat.
Yes. It could be like one of those Telenova things from Mexico. Hola. Okay, so a garage-sized reactor could provide luminous energy with magnet-free technology. Dude, it's the Mr. Fusion I've been waiting on. So the cool part about this story is that, oh my God, this is yet another, we've got just $10 or $20 million and now we're doing a fusion project. There's a dozen of these dudes.
I'm pretty sure I read about the same story in 1987.
Well, no, this was a PhD in the 2000s, so I don't think this is Z-pinch technology. You may have read the same. Yeah, you read the same conclusion, sure, but there is a intellectual history here that they show you the history, then they ask you for all your money. Okay? It's a much different thing than it was before, okay? This is science! Science! I think it was really cool that they have a technology that doesn't involve magnets. It uses electromagnetic waves that the guy did the PhD on, and then he said, hey, that's a wonderful PhD. It's all bullshit because it's never going to work. So he was sad. And then some other guys came along about 10 years later and said, you know, I think we can fix that problem where it's not working. Now, I have no idea if that's real or not, but it's just cool that, you know, one person tried, completely failed. Another one says, hey, we can tweak it a little bit. And meanwhile, we're spending like tens of billions of dollars in Europe for the, is that CERN? Is it CERN? Is the big tokamak they're building out there. So yeah, I remain convinced that whenever we do fusion, eventually 50 years or 100 years, it's going to be some dude with like a $5 million project that runs on like his power boat or something. I'm like, hey, I did this in my spare time in the backyard.
There's a friend of mine.
Well, that's where most of our inventions have come from.
It becomes difficult to change horses once you put tens of billions into a tokamak. You've sucked up the entire research industry at that point. And so I think what's happened is they sort of stalled their own progress by dumping so much money on it.
Oh, come on. How could more administrators ever possibly stop progress?
Yeah, and you know people don't chase money, because that would be wrong. So the next question is, the question here is, how do you categorize shit? And the article is, new DNA technology is shaking up the branches of evolutionary tree. So, used to be, when Aristotle came along, he said, hey, we got two-footed stuff, we got four-footed stuff. Two different categorizations. We got stuff with ears, stuff. And so we made this whole system of what things were based on what they look like.
Well, he had fire and water and
air.
And earth. Air. Yep. And what else did he have? Fire, water, air, and earth, right?
That was the four elements. But Aristotle also created biology, as we know it, by doing the whole, like, tree of life kind of deal. Well, we're finding out that, like, for I think crabs, for instance, you go, hey, it's a crab. But no, it's not a crab. There are actually four different kinds of crabs, and they've all evolved independently. So this is called convergent evolution. They think that things like eyeballs have evolved 60 times in different species. And so instead of trying to look at external stuff and categorizing who they're related to, they're actually going back and doing the DNA now. Like, hey, you know, if the DNA is very far apart, these guys did not come from the same ancestors. And so what that means is, you know, we're going to meet aliens, they're going to be humans, bumpy heads. Star Trek was right all along. All aliens are just like people, bumpy heads. That is the secret to the whole thing.
Some have acne, some of them don't.
Yeah, some have acne. And then the ear thing kind of gets weird too, right? You have bigger ears, little ears, But seriously, we don't know how much evolution is convergent. We didn't want to believe it at all, but now we're finding it's everywhere. We're getting things that start completely different directions, end up in the same spot downstream. A bipedal twin-eyeballed creature may just be the thing that evolves no matter where you are. That would not surprise me at all.
There's probably something about symmetry that's...
Symmetry and something about grasping. The binocular vision is good for predator-prey relationships. So, I mean, some of this ears, same thing. This stuff is not going to change depending on whether you grew up, you know, your species came from Earth or not.
Well, one thing that's interesting with this is that you have pros and cons of varying features, which end up being weighted.
Yes.
So as an example, we could be like spiders. We could have like 8 eyes. Mm-hmm. But what is the pros and cons of having 8 eyes?
Yes, what's the trade-off?
Right.
And that's the thing we don't know, that we're continuing. We used to think convergent evolution happened just every now and then, but now they're going, well, you know, physics is physics. So, you know, you have to have some oxidization system to drive some sort of chemical process in a cell. And assuming you have some sort of carbon-based chemistry, then all this other stuff just, a lot of it may just fall out of simple physics. It has nothing to do with us or anything that we're a part of. Twin eyeballs may be the energy trade-off, like between predator-prey and, you know, being able to see 8 things at one time or so.
So on this chart, they don't show the humans.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah, Melissa was telling me that we're actually more related to orangutans than we are chimps. Kind of made me sad. I kind of really thought the chimps were like in our past.
Well, you're looking at the tree. So is this the legacy tree, or is this the current thought of the tree?
Oh, well, the tree here, the sepia tree, that's the old stuff. That was, and that's been done several times, but this is the same as a fusion discussion. It's kind of like once you start drawing the tree, it becomes very difficult to, like, go back and resort it. And that's what the biologists are going, like, hey, instead of just doing this external thing, let's go back and look at the internal measurable stuff and, like, do the tree that way.
You got the genetic Eve, of course, because the mitochondria doesn't take any... You know, it was from your mother only.
Yeah, and we don't... there's a lot of interesting fallouts from this. It's like, how far back does the tree go? Does it go back to the RNA, go back to the mitochondria? I mean, at what point does evolution begin as we understand it in life, and at what point is it just a bunch of chemicals lying around? I don't know, and I know some people have religious issues around that, but I do believe that the physics involved here may dictate a lot more than we want to believe, because gravity's gravity, and oxidation is oxidation. A lot of this stuff is just what it is. It's not going to change from place to place. You know, a psychologist, or same situation. So psychology, for it's only been around for 100 years, but they've diagnosed diseases based on what you're doing. So like if you got a tick, oh, it's a tick disease. You know, if whatever, so they just sort of make this sorted system around stuff they can look at. And now they're kind of going, you know, maybe all this is bullshit, really, because... something's going on inside the person that's making them do that instead of just stuff we can see. And like, yeah,
well,
yeah, think.
And they've been realizing this for many, many, many years.
Yes. And it's
that basically our entire quote unquote science was complete bullshit.
Yeah. And like I said, it's the fusion reactor thing. It's a very difficult thing to like tell everybody, hey, you're all full of shit. For some reason, people don't want to hear that. I don't know. People are strange. Interesting story to keep following. New mathematical model could help spot liars. I read this whole article. I have no idea what the hell it's talking about.
Psychohistory.
Yeah.
I didn't read it.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking psychohistory is why I tagged the article. But I read it, and it managed to tell me what it was without actually explaining what it was. So I don't know. This guy's a master.
Real unclear science.
Well, yeah, okay.
So what really hit me about this article is that literally everything that they discussed inside of it in terms of finding liars would be just as useful in providing more targeted disinformation.
Yes. The thing is that the one takeaway I had, which I already knew, was that the more alternatives you provide somebody, the more you're actually sort of coloring whatever decision they make. after you provide.
Well, but it's also literally every metric they discussed. Like, let's find out if this guy's a liar. Let's find out if. But you could reverse those, and it would be just as good for me to provide disinformation to other people.
This is why you're not like working at the Pentagon now, Greg. Or maybe you should be working. I don't know.
Yeah, you could keep a job there with that.
Yeah, none of this was especially bad. There's some Bayesian discussion here. There's the information anchoring, psychological anchoring we talked about. It talks about using information theory and signal processing stuff along with Bayes. None of it strikes me as being bullshit, but like I said, I'm not really sure what they're talking about. So congrats, guys. I appreciate this article that tells me not a damn thing except for smart people do smart stuff. Very important thing to know. Rational liar. Yeah. I tell you, the best thing I heard about lies, I think it was a couple of weeks back, I was reading a book or watching a video, and the guy in the video was saying, you know how you spot a liar? A liar exaggerates detail around the thing they're lying about and doesn't remember other stuff. So you don't really remember what you did 2 days ago. You just, okay, I kind of showered and I shaved. But if you're lying about it and they ask you questions, well, I must have got up at 7:15, and you start adding details. So a liar will add details to a story in order to make it sound more true. So he was like, a good liar will add a bunch of details to some random point in his story that has nothing to do with what you're interested in, and you'll hone in on that thing, and then everything else he's vague about, and he'll throw off the interrogator that way. I'm like, hey, that's pretty out there. Next time I get arrested by the coppers, that's what I'm using.
Well, I wonder if... having just, my wife just asked me when did she take her Tylenol? And, of course my reaction is, I don't know. Mm. But then you use thinking about what was happening a few hours ago to tie it down to a particular time. And so I don't know, Dan, thinking of the details, is that really, it seems like in my mind anyway, details emerge as I start to think about a topic.
Yeah, that's true, and it doesn't matter for the, like, you're probably getting, my guess, like a 20-30% accuracy rate. You're really sort of reconstructing what must have happened, like, I must have gotten up, I must have done these things, and that's fine, but the problem with interrogation is they will hit the same thing over and over again, and then look for discrepancies, thinking that you're inventing all of it, and you're just trying to reconstruct what you should remember.
Yep.
Perfect example of this might be... as I'm staying in a hotel, the hotel removes the coffee at approximately 11 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So, I did this thing just before I went downstairs to go get my last coffee. Mm-hmm. Now, was this at 10:45 or 10:57? But I can pretty much assure you it was somewhere within that range of time. Why? Because I walked down there because they were removing the coffee.
If you're really... go ahead. Yeah, I'm saying if you ever get into trouble, you want to not talk to the... Even if you're not in trouble, if you're being interrogated, you should not talk, even if you're innocent. It doesn't matter. And then write down what you think happened, and then show them the written thing, and then you're done. Because the more you sort it through your mind... And you ever, I think George Carlin had a great routine. It's like, you ever lose something and you're looking around for it, and then you go back to the spot you'd already looked at, like maybe it came back while you're looking. Like, I know it should be here, dang it.
Well, I know it ain't here because I've already looked here, but holy crap, it's here.
like it's ever happened. your brain doesn't work as well as you think it does, I don't know.
I had a cop accuse me of making stuff up because I'd gotten in a car accident and I'm coming up to a stale left turn and kind of roll through it on yellow, and somebody in a big truck T-bones me. Now, they didn't have a green yet, but I had to kind of think through the whole thing, and he's like, oh, you're changing your story now. But I'm just trying to think through how it could possibly have happened because the right lane still had green. And we had a left arrow together, and then the left just stopped. So they didn't have green yet on their side. And this guy just was like timing it and came barreling through and T-boned my car.
And there's no malice involved. It's not, you know, we had a girl total our car 20, 30 years ago. totally almost killed us. And it was, she was at fault. She dropped her cell phone and was looking for it and just slammed it in the back of her car. But I knew, and it turned out to be true. I knew by the time I got to court, it was going to be all our fault because, as she retold the story each time, people would ask, "Well, didn't you do this?" And you'd say, "Oh yeah, I must have done that. It must have been that blah blah blah." You do that after 2 or 3 months, and suddenly you're the person in the right. And the other, God, why'd they pull out in front of me like that? And I don't blame her. It's just the way you go back through and kind of redo your memory.
Yep.
Yeah, she told the judge, she's like, "Yeah, they shouldn't have pulled out in front of me so quickly." And he was like, "Well, I guess you showed them, huh?" Okay, if you guys looked at this Dolly stuff, this is awesome. This is the best story I found, like, this year so far.
I didn't look at it. What is it?
Okay, it is the OpenAI project. They have a thing called Dolly. They're in version 2, DALL-E. You type in text, it draws the thing you type in.
Wow. I don't see any. What if you put in melting clock?
Oh, yeah, that'll be easily handled. So I can tell you precisely what my comment on this was. I can only say, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah. I think I have it. Here it is. I have it on this on the page here. Let's try a pickle driving a dump truck. So you just type in whatever you want here, and it goes away. And you could make it. You can't. It doesn't want to do people. You can't upload your own picture. Does it? If it sees a face, you're bad because it doesn't want you screwing around with that. But whatever else you can make up.
So is that the answer? Oh, look at that.
Pickle driving, and it gives you 6 different options. If you find one you like.
Where's the link? I'm going to need.
It's labs.openai.com. You got to get on a sign-up list. Took me about 6 weeks.
And then can you do stuff with these pictures, or do they own the copyright?
No, you can do stuff. You look in the Discord feed, I've got a bunch. I did one earlier, Abraham Lincoln driving a jet ski.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's not historically accurate.
Yeah, he didn't own a jet ski. He was more of, I think, a speedboat guy.
We are not sure if it's historically accurate or not.
I think he's dead.
There we go, pickle riding in a dump truck, huh? And so if you pick one you like, you can take the eraser and erase out parts you don't like, and it say, fill this in with, like, the moon or something. Or you can just say, hey, this is kind of close. Just do variations on this. I'll click the variations button. And it goes away and says, okay, fine, I'll take this thing and try to come up with some other bullshit for you. It is a hootin' hell of fun. It's the most fun. I mean, you can come up with anything. And you know why I like it? Because being the dad joke guy, I can think of an awful joke, type in what the cartoon should look like, and Google will come up with some shit. There's some more, and see, it doesn't always make sense. Looks like the pickle has a guy's head. Oh, this is some of this. It gets kind of dark on some of this stuff.
That pickle looks pretty scary.
Yeah,
it's like a Yoda, not Yoda.
A Jabba.
Yeah, Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, that's pickle. Oh, man, this is this. Yeah, it's. Yeah, it's like a Godzilla okay. Pickle.
It's got a beak.
Yeah, Picklezilla. Look at this. It's Yeah, so it's nowhere near being perfect, but it is fun enough just to play around because I can't draw anything. You know, at least this is bad. Oh, by the way, you can also put in, like, as done by Salvador Dali or something, right?
Put in melting clock.
Okay, so I'll do a...
Oh, no, I was going to say that you should leave the same one as done by Salvador Dali.
Ah, dang it. Okay, so I'm going to go a wall full of melting clocks as done by Salvador Dali.
Oh, no, pickle in a truck by
Salvador. A wall full of melting pickles.
Okay. Lord knows what we'll get. Okay, you can, and it gives you examples. Oil painting by Matisse of a humanoid robot playing chess. I think what disturbs me the most about this is it is some of the pictures are really crappy, and it doesn't matter. It's like, okay, it's close enough. It's funny. I like it. Oh, my God, it's perfect. It's like that fake brick stuff you get to put on your drywall. But it's melting pickles. Yeah.
Ooh, yuck.
Yeah.
I don't think pickles are going to melt, though.
Well, yeah, but the computer doesn't know that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got a pickle. It's almost got it's like stuff melting off a pickle. Instead, of course, pickles don't melt, but it doesn't know that. So it has like pickle-like stuff coming from the pickles. The whole thing.
All right, I'm going to need that link, Dan.
Like I said, it's labs.openai.com, and you need to sign up for a beta. But yeah, I want to use this in the roundup somehow. If nothing else, just to come up with a silly, you know, graphic every week of the stuff we talk about. It's just a hoot. It is a lot of, and the more you play with it, the more cool stuff you can do with it.
Oh, and just throwing some random words into it could end up with some pretty fun photos.
Yeah, I've got some I did before. I think the first one I did was, I did Cal riding a sleigh. That ain't bad.
The sign-in is pretty funny. Your first name, the default is Salvador.
There's
and guess what the last name is.
Here, I think I had nerd. Here's a nerd roundup one night. I tried nerd roundup many different ways. I ended up with a duck riding a horse, which I think was pretty cool. Yeah, this is programmer roundup digital art. This is some dark shit right here. This is like, I don't know. Looks like sort of the Three Fates or something. Scary. Now here's another programmer roundup. I said rodeo cowboy lassos programmer instead of cow digital art. And it doesn't really do well on lassos, and it has the cowboy sitting on the back end of a horse with no front end to the horse, which is, that's kind of disturbing. And here's the one with the duck. That, my friends, is a duck riding a horse, which is fine. I like it, but, yeah.
What's behind it?
I guess it was what it would
be. Odds.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't do well with text, by the way. If you want any sort of text in there, it's not going to happen. It just doesn't do text. Realistic man with plaid shirt and maple leaf takes notes while others work on their computer. I said to use this in our politics room yesterday. So yeah, fun stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's like Pictionary with computers.
And in reverse.
In reverse. So this guy does this article on the link. If you guys are watching along, want to go there, he's got like a ceramic pelican and a Mexican folk art style with a big cactus growing out of it. Dang, I mean, he's come up with some stuff that looks pretty good. He did a heavy metal death album with a pelican band. And as you can see, it actually got sort of pelicans looking as if they could be in a heavy metal band. But then the text says Pliny Han. And it just doesn't do tag. It doesn't spell. It can come up drawing things, but it can't spell anything. We spent some time trying to get a pelican made out of lightning.
Pliny Han could be a real name for a group. You imagine they're from Scandinavia.
Yeah. Welcome. We'll have a metal. Got some pretty cool pictures. They finally did like pelicans, a gang of pelicans in a forest with a raccoon or something.
I got a feeling these are going to become sold as NFTs or something, aren't they?
This is the future. This is the future, huh? Okay, we only got a couple more. This next one, blood pressure e-tattoo promises continual monitoring. When my son came this past weekend, he had a little thing stuck under his arm. I'm like, Bruce, what stuck
to
you?
I'll be right back. I got to check on my patient.
Sure, no problem. I'm like, Bruce, what stuck to you? He's like, this is a blood sugar monitoring system. So you get this thing, you stick it on your arm, and throughout the day, it continuously monitors your blood sugar. I'm like, wow. So we're getting all this cool shit that you can, like, like put on yourself for continuous monitoring. I think that's good overall. I wouldn't want Google knowing, but it's a pretty cool thing.
The problem with something like a tattoo for doing blood pressure monitoring is the amount of detail that it can give. It's going to be a fairly widely variant measurement.
Yeah, there's a thing where they talk about, like, how can you do blood pressure without a cuff? And that seems to be, like, the holy grail that they've been working on. It's something with AI and some wild stuff. But, yeah, it's going to vary through the day, and they're building a machine learning system that will look at the capacitance of your bloodstream. That's how the electric current flows through it as it changes over time, and then infers what your blood pressure should be. They're thinking it will be very accurate, but they don't know yet. It looks like it's still in development.
Hmm.
How's the patient doing, James?
She's doing amazing. I heard some footsteps, but she's now in the kitchen adjusting our soup.
Yeah, this is our job.
Patient is doing marvelously.
It's always a good sign when they make their own chicken soup.
Well, you know, that is a good sign. Very good sign.
Amazon shows off a new Alexa feature that can mimic the voices of dead relatives. Because who wouldn't want that? Walking through the house and a voice in the background goes, "Oh, how are you doing?
Hi, Grandpa. It's Grandpa. He's coming for me."
Well, this isn't even the weird part. So if it can mimic the voices of my dead relatives, then it can mimic the voices of nearly anyone else.
Yes. Yeah, they're saying that.
So what if I were like some weird, creepy guy, and I had a crush on someone at work?
Yeah.
And then I made Alexa mimic her.
Yes. Or you just plugged it to Pornhub in some way that you could watch a Pornhub video but have her voice instead of the Pornhub. Yeah, it's some really dark things here. The AI, the news here for me at least, is that AI voice impersonation is far beyond what it was even 5 years ago. So they mentioned the movie or something where they actually, and I think there's a couple of them out recently, where they actually took the actor and had them say things, and it wasn't them, but nobody knew.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just odd. Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. Yeah, they had a movie about Anthony Bourdain, the guy who killed himself, the chef dude. And they used AI to have him read emails he'd sent to people in his own voice, even though he's dead. And his fans were like, "That's just weird, man." I'm not opposed to it as long as it's clear that we talked about this with the talking statue thing that I would like. As long as it's clear the person is no longer with us. It might be fun to have a grandpa simulator. I wouldn't mind my data being used for that, but I'm not, hell if I'm selling condos or some shit.
So you'd need a recording of the voice.
You do, and I'm not sure how much training data you need. I'm sure that you and all of us have probably done enough seminars and such that they could use our voice.
So then you could lecture your kids like long after you're gone. That could be great.
Yes, yes. If you could add a memory thing in where you could say, I told you back 120 years ago you shouldn't be doing that.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the best part, is having some old person come in and tell you you're all fucked up and they'd already told you not to do it and you did it anyway.
Yep. There you go. I'm sure my kids are going to want to buy in on this one.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a big hit. So this we got some cool tech. We don't have a lot of coding sources. We've got some cool tech. This is an optical microphone. And to give you a little background, in the 1950s, the spy service in the U.S., CIA and a couple other services, wanted to listen in on, like, embassies and such. And they came up with the idea of using a laser, and you bounce a laser off a window, and then you can actually watch the window vibrate with the laser and then convert that back into sound, using the window effectively as a microphone. This is 70 years ago. Well, these guys have, like, turned this in, like, the Superman powers. They take a shot of a room, and they're able to use every surface in that room as an individual microphone. And then from there, they can reconstruct the sound waves as they travel throughout the room and, like, isolate instruments and remix the whole thing as if you had, like, 50 microphones in that room. That's just awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff.
What's really interesting here is if this is public, what do they have that's not public?
Yeah, they're way beyond. Yeah. And you think that, you know, the glass thing was easy to defeat because you just use double pane glass and all that. But if you can take every surface and it could work, say, over a webcam, what can you pull off like in an adjacent office? Like if you're camming up with somebody overseas. And, I really think we're going to enter a phase pretty quickly, but probably next 20, 30 years in which we have no idea what's real and what's not real. It's just we're learning to fake things so deeply that it's going to become nobody's going to believe anything.
Okay, how do we get on this hotel? How do we get to this hotel? You don't just pull up in front of it in your car anymore.
I don't know. I would. Yeah, this is it combines all of the great parts of the Titanic, the Hindenburg, Chernobyl, Love Boat, and like the local Motel 6 all at one time. It can't get any better than this.
Look at it. It's got what looks like a cockpit for a giant person.
It's a 20 engine nuclear powered electric cruise jet. I don't know how you could be. This is obviously something you want to get on. I mean, the video, if you guys should watch the video, because it's got this, it's got elevators, there's a restaurant that rotates in the back there.
No, no, no. It's very cool when you look at it, but I just have one question. Why would I take that instead of a cruise ship?
I better views.
You can see the world.
Yeah, I'm with James. The question I had, well, first I want to know how it took off, because it's huge, but once you get in the air, how do you get in and out of the dang thing? Because you don't want to land this and take off again. It's just too much. It would have to have its own airport. You would have to have like a place you could land little planes on or something.
That sounds like a problem.
It's an amazing, but the video is cool. It's an amazing looking grotesquity. It's a wonderful, awful thing. Somebody said, you know, it might be nice to have like on Titan or something. Hey, John. Good to see you, my friend.
Hey there, John.
Hi. Man, been working too hard. Haven't been able to make it.
I was talking to Scott Amber this morning. Scott wanted to come. He said something had to work, something clients. I'm like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Come on, Scott. Yeah, geez.
Oops, I'm running out of time. Oops. Not that you got here, John, but.
Tag, yeah. Tail. It's like pro wrestling.
Yeah, I've got a 4 o'clock too.
Okay, well we've actually wrapped up now. You guys want to share anything you've read or watched before you bail out?
Oh yeah, I've got a couple to report on.
Okay.
Have any of you seen Jerry and Marge Go Large?
No.
So it's Bryan Cranston, who you know Heisenberg or Hale from Malcolm in the Middle, and he's a mathematical genius prodigy, whatever, that retires and figures out, and it's based on a true story. Ooh. That there's something wrong with the Boston Lottery. And so he figures out that, you know, if you wait till the certain event and buy, you know, thousands of tickets, you're guaranteed to win a certain thing. And he went and proved it was true. And so they made a living out of that and kind of refurbished their town. It's kind of cool.
Oh, wow.
Got the town involved in it to contribute money so they could buy more tickets. And he and his wife would go through all the little tickets and find the numbers. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, John?
The other thing.
No, go ahead, James, please.
The other thing, I've been listening to this book called Big Week, and you guys know my dad was a World War II fighter pilot, and what this is about, one of the largest air battles of World War II, and what's fascinating about it is the technology that they're talking about as this book is progressing. You know, what kind of fighter planes and bombers and stuff they had in the beginning, and what the British had and the Germans had, and basically this technology war that was going on so that they could fight more with machines and less, you know, with less humans than they did in, you know, World War I. And I'm about halfway through with it. It's really a fascinating story. And some of the names I recognize because they were, you know, the general my dad worked for and that sort of thing.
Send us a link if you remember that, please. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, Big Week.
John?
Yeah. Well, I finished binge-watching Stranger Things at the behest of my kids. Our kids, and So I just finished like season four, which picked up. You're right. Season three did get a little bit like, okay, now the Russians are involved, all right. But yeah, so it was a good cliffhanger on season four, and I think July 1st is the next season or something like that.
Oh, so, wow. Cool.
Yeah. And our daughter, one of our twin girls, is getting married this weekend, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Will this be your first married
child? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic.
Wow, what a big day.
Yep. Yep.
Greg?
I've been trying to get into the Umbrella Academy, but I've not really gotten into it that much yet.
Yeah, we got to start with that. We watched some of it, and Melissa wants to go back. It seemed okay, as I remember. I started and finished a sci-fi book called The Earth Abides from 1951, and I highly recommend it. It is, what would you do if everybody died and you had to recreate society, which is kind of why I wrote that blog the other day. And it's a well-written book, quick read. If you're interested, The Earth Abides.
Oh, you should just follow that up with The Omega Man. Rewatch that.
Yeah, man. Richard Matheson. Yeah, Omega Man's great. They did like four different movies on that one short story.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Matheson wrote a bunch of good stuff. I think he did City on the Edge of Forever, I think, or maybe it was Highland. But he's done some. Matheson was a great writer. All right, cool. Guys, let me do my goodbye. Thanks for coming by, John.
Thanks.
All right. Well, you've lost yet another hour of your precious time, and we're happy you came by. I'm Daniel Markham. I'm at danielbmarkham.com. This is the Nerd Roundup. I'll see you on the internet.